hearing your name, hearing some of your comments. Give them some background on yourself. Tell them how long you've been with the health department. You know, what brings you to the health department? Just tell them about yourself, if you could.
Well, I told you a little bit. Grew up in California and went to school at NDSU, and been working with the department for a little over 30 years.
Right, but you worked your way up to being the head of the department.
Yep, worked through, started out in drinking water program, went to the groundwater program, worked in some solid waste, worked on rural water projects. Pretty much did everything except for air pollution within the department. So pretty broad-based experience.
And you know what it's like to be in a town hall meeting where people think that government's trying to tell them they have to join a rural water system, and both of us were trying to look at them and say, look, all we're doing is giving you an option. Fair?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And we both wondered whether or not holding meetings at 8 o'clock in a small town bar is the right thing to do. Dave, I want to talk about what's happened in North Dakota, because I know it's as upsetting for you as it is for me. What are we doing to make sure that none of these spills happen again, that we're tracking some of these hazardous spills better? What steps are you as a health department going to take here?
Well, you know, as far as spills are concerned, you know, accidents are going to happen. No matter what we do, we're going to have spills. But as part of the state rule and law, they are, if a spill occurs, they are required to report it to the health department. What we did learn from the Tesoro pipeline is that we did everything right, but we did learn that there is a lot of interest in what's going on out there. And so what we're going to end up doing is putting all the information we get on spills, we'll put that on a website that is accessible by the public. They can 24/7, they can take a look at what's going on in their county and get information. And if they have more questions, they can contact us.
Okay, because a lot of media now coming out, when I think it would have been their jobs to do in the beginning when we were getting those Northwest area landowners on and letting them tell their case. You know, a lot of media now coming out, and rightfully so, and saying, you know, we need to take preventative steps to making sure that we minimize this as much as what we can. In other words, the pressure's starting to really get turned up on this, Dave.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it's a different North Dakota than what we were 10 years ago. A lot of oil development, a lot of activity, a lot of good things going on, but with that also, you got the issues to deal with releases and spills. And so we're looking at how we deal with that a little bit differently to keep the public involved and let them know what's going on. And I think that's the way to go.
I have to ask you this. Earlier we had a conversation about House Bill 1347. You know, oftentimes state agencies come in, and I've been in those rooms, and they look at us and say, I'm neither here in support of or against this bill. I'm here for technical support. Is it time for the Oil and Gas Division? Is it time for the Health Department and others? Because you know so much more of what the potential risk is and what the industry would be doing here than people like me who were elected as legislators. What is it time for you to come in that room and say, we need this? This law has to be put in place, because some of these people are just going to see it as regulation and they just hate the word.
Yeah, I think as far as new regulation, I'm not going to go thumbs up or thumbs down on that. But I do think the state should and the health department should continuously look at how are we doing business and can it be done better. And every time we have an incident or an accident of the magnitude of Tesoro, it gives us an opportunity to step back and find out what we did right and what we can do better and then take action on that.
Do you feel as a department that there's pressure upon your department to never say what some of the negative cause and effects are of the oil industry upon North Dakota? Do you feel that that comes down from above?
No, I don't get that. You know, I feel that the health department's been always very open on what we're seeing out there. And you know, the truth be told, you know, you don't bring in that much industry and that much activity and everything stays the same. It just can't happen. So we'll see a shift a little bit in the environmental quality, but our job is to maintain the quality as best we can and keep the public informed in what's going on up there so we are doing the right thing.
Do you feel you have the tools necessary to meet that demand?
Well, right now we're holding our own, but as we move forward and looking at doing things differently, we may be asking for a little more assistance. But as we sit here today, we're holding our own.
North Dakota is notorious for paying its health department employees nowhere near what national standards are. and they're regulating and overseeing an industry that would easily hire them away tomorrow at a job for twice, three times what they're making. Has that been happening to you?
It does happen periodically. We kind of jokingly say that we're a good training ground, but we have good staff, and they're responding very well. As far as salaries and the pay, I kind of look at it, our work will stand for itself, and if the state feels that they should pay us, those employees, more, then I think that's where it goes.
But as a department head, is that a conversation that you're ready to have with the governor's office as they develop their budget, or with the Office of Management and Budget, to say, you know, if you want to make sure that I've got enough people on the ground to monitor this, you got to give me some extra chips here?
Well, it's a challenge. You know, I think you even talk to industry, it's a challenge of them getting the quality and qualified individuals. There's only so many of those to go around, and so we're all in competition for the same folks. And, you know, we do have those conversations. How do we retain quality employees? How do we recruit quality employees? And we have those conversations.
There's a dreaded word in North Dakota, or acronym in North Dakota, EPA, you know, that everyone is concerned about. And, oh, my God, we've got to retain our primacy with our health department. We don't want EPA coming in and regulating all of this. Is EPA a resource that, for you who is in charge of protecting North Dakota's environment, you're in the environmental health section and you're the chief, is EPA a tool that you could or should be using more?
Well, and I think we, EPA, as well as the state, we're taking a look at how our relationship is working to protect the environment. And, you know, EPA is going through some major changes with budget cuts and finding it very difficult to do the oversight and work in the state. So what we're finding is the state is stepping up to the plate even more than what we have in the past to protect the environment. I think clearly a relationship with EPA is to the benefit of a good relationship is to the benefit of the state, and we're looking at how we can cooperate and do our jobs together to protect the environment and public health. And I think you'll see some changes in the future.
How much does the environmental health section of the North Dakota health department communicate with the oil and gas division in North Dakota?
We do routinely. We do get daily reports from them regarding spills, and that's some of the stuff we'll be putting on our webpage. But we routinely talk to them. Our staff coordinate on activities in the field quite frequently, so there is some back and forth communication.
Dave, you and I both know there's going to be leaks in the future. Can you assure North Dakotans that we're not going to come upon or find leaks where, you know, close to 1 million gallons of oil was spilled and we didn't know about it?
Where we stand now, if we find out about it, the public will know about it almost as quickly as we do. So that's what we will do. I sure hope we don't see any spills of that size again. But I can't guarantee it. What I can guarantee is that a response will be quick and comprehensive, and that the public will be informed.
What tools do you have to send that as a clear message to the industry? Will fines be coming for Tesoro? What phase are you in dealing with this particular leak by Tioga and Tesoro?
Right now, we're really concentrating on the cleanup. We have the interim plan, which is looking at recovering the oil over the wintertime, and then the final comprehensive cleanup plan for next spring. That's what we're concentrating on now. Now, when we look at enforcement and fines, how quickly they get to it, how comprehensive their cleanup is, and how well they cooperate with the department, those will be considerations as we move forward with potential fines.
I guess for the average North Dakotan, though, they're going to look at those fines as a real deterrent. So if they end up being nothing, even if Tesoro does a great job here, they're not going to look at it as though, boy, we deterred anything. Or at least that argument will be made, Dave.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, for some people, no matter what we collect, it isn't enough. But I will say that we make sure, and I've been asked that, is, well, how much is it going to take to clean up? And quite frankly, I don't care. They made the mess, they need to clean it up. And that's going to cost them a significant amount of money. That's not something they want to do, to have those spills and to have that amount of money to invest in the cleanup. But we'll make sure that's done. Once that's all said and done, we take that in consideration on the fines. And I will tell you that the fines for some people will never be huge enough, but I do think there is a deterrent on the comprehensive cleanup. The oversight by the department, I think that is going to be a deterrent that they're going to look how they do their business in the future so it doesn't happen again.
Dave Glott, North Dakota Health Department Environmental Health Section Chief. Dave, you, you know, last one, I promise, but you're sitting there dealing with this, and now word's getting out that there's thought it might have been a lightning strike. Is that right?
That's what I have heard, too, and we're scratching our heads on that one. I need to get more information on it, and I haven't seen the report.
That kind of went, I mean, lightning hits ground, and it goes to ground, and so it left me scratching my head. My big concern is this, and I might be completely way off on it, so I want you to just diffuse it so I don't say it anymore. But if this thing pitted from the outside in, if it's in acidic soil, is it incumbent upon you as a health department to make them expose sections of it so you can examine it from the outside?
Well, they have already exposed some sections of it. I think at least six different areas they've exposed and taken a look at the pipe to see what's going on there. And I'm not aware of any of that corrosion going on. I'm going to have to defer to folks that have a lot more experience in this than I do to have them, such as PHMSA, tell us what really did happen and what caused it.
Dave, thank you. I reserve the right to call again.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Okay, Dave Glott, ladies and gentlemen, with the North Dakota Health Department.